5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Get into our Lunch Rush segment. Top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Oh, here we go. Clemson coach Dabo Swinney agreed to a 10-year, $115 million contract this morning. The largest college football coaching contract by total compensation. Angel, how do you feel about that? Nick, old Nikolai is behind a little bit here. He needs to get some more money.
If you would have asked me this 5 years ago, I would have had a completely different answer.
Yeah.
Now, that's your loss, Clemson.
Oh, man.
Have fun with Dabo.
10-year deal.
After they struggled to beat Georgia Tech the other night.
Wow, man. The new enhanced contract runs through the 2031 football season, averages $11.5 million over 10 years. In 2020, Swinney is set to earn $10.5 million, just behind your boy, Nick Saban, who recently did get a raise and an extension that will pay him $10.7 million this season. So much money in college football. How dare these kids have those NIL contracts? Oh, those kids. It's all about the money for them. They don't care. This is setting a bad precedent. This is changing attitudes. Oh, yes, yes, please. I would like a 10-year, $115 million deal. Yes, it's fine. That's great. Just make it out to me. That's great. Speaking of contract extensions, that's just where we are right now. Los Angeles Rams extend contracts of coach Sean McVay and general manager Les Snead through 2026. That's interesting because, you know, in the offseason, or early in the offseason, we kind of wondered if Sean McVay was done. And it still doesn't, you know, it's not that he can't leave his contract or anything, but kind of sounds like he's going to be there for a little bit anyway. The Rams on Thursday extended the contracts of both their head coach and their general manager. McVay said in early August that he had signed an extension, but the team was waiting to make it official. But Snead was the one who, you know, hadn't signed unofficially or officially just yet. Isn't that crazy, though, that McVay was kind of considering not coming back after being, what, the youngest coach to win a Super Bowl? Maybe thought, there's more I can do in the media world. There's a bunch of things I can do. He's a very talented dude. So it sounds like he'll be not going anywhere for the foreseeable future for the Los Angeles Rams. The Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, isn't bashful about saying, hey, these are the things we want for the Big 12. We want to move out west. We want to grow out west. He was speaking at a future Big 12 member during a visit, with one of his new members, Cincinnati. And, of course, he told reporters there that the league would be interested in adding members from the Pacific time zone. The new commissioner has taken a bold approach, according to ESPN, toward expansion, saying at Football Media Days, the Big 12 is open for business, and we want to grow and move out west even more. Yeah, it's all well and good. Again, it just, my brain does go back to what does all of the college football playoffs expansions, all of that stuff, what does it mean to us at this point in time with conferences wanting to grow and add more teams? It's interesting, Angel. 2 months ago, we were sitting here saying, yeah, you got to go get to the Power Five conferences. You got to make your way there. You got to find a way. Now I'm looking at some of these teams going, did they make a mistake? Because where we learned that the playoffs is going to accept at least one could be a non-Power Five, guaranteed, right? So they'd just be the finish. They could even be like really ranked terribly, but they could still get in as long as they're a champ. They would say, take the best champ on that side of it, right? So how does it work exactly? So six conference champs get
conference,
in.
The six highest ranking conference champions, and then the sixth highest ranked at-large teams.
Yeah, so there's an opportunity there. Because when you look at the Power Fives, there's five. So you're going to see at least one group of five team get in there. So that's where I look at it, too. It's like, does it serve you better to be one of eight great teams in a conference, or do you go to like a Mountain West and dominate and just be in the playoffs every year? I mean, there's some thought there. Now, I don't know that you'll get the same players caliber if you're not the same caliber of players if you're not in the in those tougher conferences. But the USC's and the UCLA's of the world, are they just going to get lost? You look at what they have in the Pac-12, and I know it's a, that's a Power Five, but you could make a case for USC running the table more often than not, and now they're gone.
Well, with the way Oregon looked last weekend, I would say, yeah, you could run away with that conference, and it's a good question. It's do you want to compete with Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State every single year and try to fight for two, maybe three spots?
It's crazy.
Or you go to the Pac-12, you win, guarantee your spot, or you beat up the rest of the conference and put yourself in the top 15 with a shot.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. I think we've reversed this discussion suddenly from, well, we need to make sure we get to a conference, get to a good conference. Now it's now I'm thinking, win your conference. Go win your conference and be a top conference.
It'll be interesting because I don't know exactly how the playoff and these rules and these bids will be set up. If it's written in stone, this is how it has to be. Or if we do see a major realignment in college football, do they change how the bids work?
I think
so. I think it's still very fluid, but I think the playoff is going to might push this towards reverse a little bit.
So theoretically, and stay with me on this, a group of five conference champ, if they're the sixth best ranked conference champ, they get in. That could mean they could be at 25, right? They could be terrible. Like in terms, okay, they won a crappy conference. But that if they have the best and they're the best of the worst, they could be like behind several teams that are not conference champions and get in over those teams.
Yeah, so just for example, you would have CSU, maybe they have a one-loss season, go on, win the Mountain West, and they're finished ranked 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
They would be in consideration for a top six
because they were
spot.
The best.
Maybe
they
not
were the,
top four with a bye,
but they
be
would
playing
be
in the top six.
If they were the best, if that was, it was just a weird year.
If there's no other conference champion higher than CSU.
But hypothetically, that could happen.
Sure.
You could say, well, CSU was a conference champ, but they were much better. They weren't great, and their conference was really bad, and maybe they lost three games even. I don't know. But that was the best of the worst, essentially. And they could be 22 and get in, and then you're going to get that argument of they beat out whatever it would be, like 13 different teams to get up in there in the playoffs because they won the conference. I love it personally. It does take us to the NFL model a little more, takes us closer to that, where you could be a 7-10 team or whatever and win your division and still get in the NFL. So you could be seeing that, and that I like that. 10 years down the road even more, because I, for one, and a lot of people disagree with me on this, I feel like this does spread out college football, that we will get to the point then. And it was funny, where I was in Denver the other day, I'm asking former Denver Bronco college football stud, I'm like, hey, you don't think potentially if I'm a 5-star, 4-star guy, but I'm told by Nick Saban that I'm going to be on the bench for 2 years, I don't go, you know what? Why don't I go to Boise State or Fresno State? We go tear up our conference, and then we get into the playoffs, and then I'm on prime time. Everybody's watching me because those games mean something. Scouts are watching those games. How many times do you hear, hey, he had an up-and-down season, but the way he performed in the national championship game, that's why we took a flyer and drafted him in the top 10. You don't think a guy that's going to be sitting on the bench that says, man, I want money. I know I can be in the NFL, but I don't want to be riding the bench for 2 years behind this stud running back that Bama already has. I'm going to go to Boise State or Fresno State, and we're going to go win. Like, I think you're going to see a lot more of those stories than people are giving that credit for.
Yeah, and I certainly think the next 2-3 years of college football, we're going to see the biggest amount of change or the most amount of change just because you're going to see how this realignment ends up shaking out. Does the playoff committee make a set of rules, maybe another, like a backup set of rules in case the alignment doesn't go through? And by the time they get the 12-team playoff started, it's set for 2026. I think it'll be earlier than that. What I think college football will enter a new era at that point. And it's still, even from then, it might take 3-4 years for the recruiting side of it to pan out. Because that's just how recruiting works. It takes you a couple years. But the biggest changes are going to see in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. I think it's just, listen, to me, it's a good thing. It's exciting. I just read things like what we're hearing from the Big 12 commissioner moving out west. I just wonder how much of those plans that you started 2 months ago have been severely impacted by this decision going forward. Because seriously, if you were USC and you decided already to go to the Big Ten, do you regret that decision today? Again, I know the money's there in the Big Ten, but with this, it does open up potential to make more money if you're the Pac-12 because of the venom that is, you know, because you're going to have a Pac-12 team in the playoffs. That's just how it's going to go. Guaranteed. You're going to have five Power Fives will always have a representative. So now there's a guaranteed Pac-12 in the playoffs, and you just left. Aren't you kicking yourself a little bit?
I'd say a little bit. Obviously, you keep that TV market in LA, one of the biggest markets in the country for sports. So you hold on to that, and that's the forefront of your conference. And, you know, obviously USC has that tradition. They have the success in the past. Being able to bring that back into a new era of college football, like I just explained, I can't see why you would still make the move to the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about it.
It didn't make sense then, and it makes less sense now.
No question. No question about it. It's a fun topic, though. It's fun to see how college football just continues to evolve. 16 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. At 12:30, we'll have Kevin Lytle, our CSU Rams insider from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And also, my Thursday night special is coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Very excited about that. Who am I taking tonight? Am I taking the Rams? Am I taking the Bills? Do I like the points? We'll find out in about an hour. So you do not want to miss this. 17 after the hour. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Twelve o'clock hour. Welcome in. Glad you can be with us here on The Whole Show. Shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're specialists in the medicine of motion. They truly have you covered from head to toe, and they're ready to get you moving like you used to. Visit their website, orthohealth.com, to see the list of physicians and all the wonderful things they do. You can check out everything, you know, appointments, set up, anything that you need at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Brady just wondering if I need to start stretching out now for some chair dancing as we await the return of Mr. Thursday Night and the Thursday Night Special. Are we going old school with Colfax jams, or does Angel have some new stuff for us? What do you have for us?
Been working on some stuff. It might be a little rough this week. First time back at it. But
it's first day. It's first Thursday.
As the season goes on, we will evolve and change and adapt with the times.
Yes.
Just stay listening.
I don't even know. Like, you and I kind of talked about how we're going to do it, but I'll just be ready to do whatever we do. The ultimate, at the end of the day, just got to make the pick.
It's going to be done, so.
It's nerve-wracking. I get nervous for it. You know, my stomach's turning. But at the end of the day, I just got to know. I just got to make a pick. You know,
you better not change it the last second.
I mean, you know, you tend to look at injury reports and you read a bunch of updates from things. And listen, I got my notes. You got my notes here.
Copious notes.
Just tore them out right here. Apparently Josh Allen's playing for the Bills tonight. Matt Stafford is going for the Rams. He's the quarterback. Is that right? So far, I'm off to a good start. Okay, because
yep.
I'm going to use these to help make my pick. Sean McVay,
your lookalike
is my. People have told me this before.
You could probably pass as a Sean McVay
when I let the beard go a little bit. Although the hair is getting a little too long, got to change something there. Maybe I got to go because that's not a bad dude to look like. Sean McVay.
He's got money too, so you could just walk into the office and say, "I'm Sean McVay."
Just put a whistle around my neck. Go to the airport. Hey, who are you?
Aaron,
check out
get
the
to work. Probably not Aaron Donald.
Probably not, man. I doubt even McVay tells Aaron to get to work. Yeah, this is going to be fun. How cool is this, though? We're talking to J.J. Ratterink, the quarterback's coach for UNC. He played for Wyoming. I mean, sometimes I kind of forget I don't really forget, but you just don't think about it, that Josh Allen played right up the road, dude. He played in Wyoming, Mountain West school, but relatively small school in the grand scheme of things. And he didn't blow anybody away. He wasn't constantly putting together monster numbers. He just, I'm going to steal a CSU Ram to describe Josh, CSU Ram quote from Jay Norvell to describe Josh Allen. Cowboys fans are going to throw up in their mouth. He seems to have that grit. You know, he seems just that guy. And why the hell John Elway did not draft Josh Allen, I will never know. Never, ever, ever know. I mean, he's the perfect build for a John Elway-type quarterback. He played somewhat in the area. The weather wasn't an issue. Tough dude, good dude. And he's not a Denver Bronco. But it is kind of cool, though, right? When you watch that golf matchup between him and you had Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady in it. And you're watching that going, wow, Josh Allen played college football for the Wyoming Cowboys, is now pretty much top four. One of the best quarterbacks in the world. And he played for the Wyoming Cowboys. It's pretty sweet. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do the Bills cover tonight? The Bills are 2.5-point favorites going into Los Angeles, going up against the Rams, the Super Bowl champs, on a night where they're going to be raising their Super Bowl banner, and they've got a cool ceremony prepared. I mean, like you and I talked about at the start of the show, talk about chip on your shoulder. I just won the whole freaking thing, and I'm not a favorite in my own house? You kidding me?
It's a nice house.
It's a very nice house. But we've talked about, Brian and Tanner on Good Morning NoCo brought something up, though. Like, what is the following like in Los Angeles for the Rams? I mean, it's not like, there's a lot to do in L.A. I mean, there's a lot of teams to compete with, too. And we know, like, the Chargers struggled in San Diego when they moved to L.A., all this stuff. But is that crowd like a tough, tough crowd to play in front of? Because I know on Monday Night Football, Russell Wilson's going to have his work cut out for him. It's going to be loud there. You know, people that hate the whole 12th man thing, say, oh, you stole it. It doesn't matter. It's still freaking loud. It's a tough place to play football. But with the Rams, like, what does that home field advantage really do for you?
I know years ago when they moved from St. Louis back to Los Angeles, there was a pretty significant grouping of fans there. I think when I think of LA teams, I think the Chargers suffer the most in their fan base, and that it's interesting that they share that stadium, but more often than not, the Rams are going to pack it out more than the Chargers will.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Bills Mafia, they travel really well, so I'd say about 65, 35 maybe.
Boy, it's going to be fun, isn't it? Ready to rock and roll. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Tell me what you guys think. Will the Bills cover tonight? I mean, again, you could still pick the Bills to win and just have them in a really close football, like even closer than that. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites in this game. What do you have? How do you have this thing going down? It's at thewholeshow.com, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Bills cover the minus 2.5-point spread tonight against the Rams? 60, now it's at 60% saying no at this stage. So, all right, go check it out. Picks coming up in about an hour. Very much looking forward to that. That's going to be a blast. And, I mean, I just hope you guys are ready. I hope you're ready, Angel. It's a big night. Thursday night special. Going to try to go undefeated this year. Feeling really good about my pick.
Just, it's nice to say that we've made it.
We've arrived.
Finally got here.
Yes. It's finally here. Cannot wait. Our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one is from Berthoud Brewing Company. And it's a Berthoud Brewing IPA. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor here in Greeley. They got a drive-through too. It's open from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. Free tastings this Friday from 4 to 7. The good folks from the Shine Shop, our friends over there, have a tasting happening at On the Rocks Liquor. So make sure you pop by this Friday. That's tomorrow. If today is Thursday, Friday's tomorrow. Cannot wait for that tasting. Shine Shop does some cool stuff. So, you know, if you've never heard of them before, you could sample something from them at On the Rocks Liquor. Kevin Lytle's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him. He's our Rams insider from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And how's he feeling, you know, several days after the beatdown that Michigan put on Colorado State? We'll talk to him next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here. And that's why they call me Bad Company.
I can't deny Bad Company. Today I die. Welcome back in. Glad you could be here with us on the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're going to see if we can get Kevin Lytle on the show. We had to move him from 11:30 to 12:30 today, so it's probably throwing his whole day off, Angel. But we're going to talk about CSU and Michigan, a little bit about that, and then we'll turn the page and start looking at Middle Tennessee. Of course, you know the Rams lost to Michigan 51-7. And it was just bad enough of a score, because we talked about the threshold and when would it be like, oh, you can't lose 70-0. That would be bad. You want to at least show you kind of belong at times. It was just bad enough, I think, to have people still kind of torn. Like 51-7, it was rough, wasn't ideal, but, you know, you scored seven. You found a way to get it done in the fourth quarter. Kevin Lytle joining me now from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our Rams insider. Kevin, my man, I loved your piece, too, in the Colorado one about, you know, don't let that Michigan game really be your real preview into what Fort Air Raid's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like I led with that story. If it's, you know, if you kind of reconsidered your whole thought on this CSU football team based on the Michigan game, you probably just don't really understand how college football works. Because it's, you know, it's just a different world, and especially for a CSU team that's, you know, in a rebuild, a pretty significant one. You know, 5 years from now with, you know, Jay Norvell, if things are cooking and, you know, they still can't hang with, you know, a Power 5 team, at least be pseudo-competitive, then maybe you can be a little, you know, frustrated. But in this situation, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Like Jay Norvell summed it up of, you know, too much too soon for our program, which I think is a pretty fair assessment.
Yeah, and I don't think that's like a sign of weakness or anything. We knew what this was. I mean, we knew Michigan was on the schedule a while ago, well before we knew what the situation was going to look like this season. You know, and I know there was transfers from Nevada, but I'm telling you, even if Nevada goes up against Michigan and it's Jay Norvell and Clay Millen under center, at the end of the day, you have a freshman quarterback in his first start. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're trying to work your system in. There's a lot of things that need to be done before we see the real, you know, the real vision that Jay Norvell's trying to get out there when it comes to Fort Air Raid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, with Clay Millen, for instance, you know, he did all the prep, you know, did all, you know, everything in practice you could want, but there's no way to simulate and prepare for the speed and strength of Michigan, and you saw that. You know, Clay held the ball too long at times, you know, some indecision. He had some, you know, potential openings that he missed, where, you know, again, whether it was indecision, just holding it too long, all that, which again is just stuff that, you know, you learn from games. And again, the kid hadn't started since senior year of his high school year, and he only played two games that year. Those two games are in an empty stadium, and he rolls out in front of 109,000 at the Big House. So again, I don't think any of it was terribly surprising. You know, obviously the score was, you know, a little more lopsided than I had projected, but overall, there's nothing, you know, I think I tweeted this, there's everything I thought about CSU before that game, I think basically the exact same after.
I feel 100% the same way. You know, it was 51-7. To me, it was just enough, you know, to kind of make you scratch your head a little bit and go, I would have liked to see CSU compete a little bit more, but I think Michigan's going to be a really, really, really good football team. So 51-7 was not one of those scores above that threshold anyway, where I walked away going, oh boy, this could be interesting. What did you think of Clay's performance, the offensive line? We'll get into that. But also just the way Jay Norvell coached this game. You kind of predicted this was how this game was going to go as far as how Norvell maybe coached the game.
Yeah, obviously a lot of quick passes, you know, short stuff with occasional shots here and there as they could. You know, they basically ran, you know, with three wide receivers the whole time, and, you know, kept a tight end blocking a lot, which, again, is kind of what we expected. And, again, that also means it wasn't really the true full air raid. It was kind of a partial air raid. But, yeah, Clay, you know, mixed bag. When he was throwing the ball, he was pretty accurate. He had the one misread on the interception where he just read the defense wrong. But otherwise, he was accurate. He completed, 80% of his passes. But part of that was because he definitely didn't take some of the chances he should have. You know, Jay Norvell this week has been harping of, you know, we had a couple things on and the ball didn't come out when it should have. And again, I think that's just a freshman and a speed of play thing as he gets his feet kind of under him at the college level. So again, nothing too concerning. I'd say Clay was solid and, you know, Middle Tennessee, no disrespect to them, but that defense is probably going to feel really slow to Clay Millen this week after what Michigan was.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. You look forward and say, well, that was as tough as it's probably going to get. So now you go forward and we start to see CSU putting these pieces together. But I think even if you started the season with Middle Tennessee, Kevin, certain Rams fans with these expectations of, oh, where's Fort Air Raid? Oh, my gosh, it's not. It's game one. It's kind of like the first season with Canvas when everybody said, oh, they built this shiny new stadium, but they can't sell it out. What's going on? It just, all these things take time. If it were easy and it was overnight, then Nevada would have been undefeated and never lost a game while Jay Norvell was there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel pretty confident that this team will be.
Oh, did we lose Kevin? Oh, Kevin, we got you. We got you there. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think this team will be much better, you know, weeks, you know, 6, 7, 8 than they are weeks 1, 2, and 3 because, yeah, like you say, so much new. It's such a young roster, too. Mm-hmm. And even the guys, you know, we've talked about some of the ones with experience are in new spots. You know, Jacob Gardner, he started more than 20 games in college, but Michigan was his first game at center. So you just have so much of that it's going to take a little time to hit, you know, full rhythm. But I do think we'll see, you know, obviously a much different looking performance this week, you know, partially because you face a much different looking team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at this Middle Tennessee game going forward, I think ESPN has the Rams 11-point favorites. Does that sound right? What do you make of that spread? And, of course, this will be the first home game for CSU under head coach Jay Norvell and company.
Yeah, weirdly, the line has made a pretty big jump there. Apparently, it's some decent money moving on CSU Middle Tennessee, which, you know, I feel like I need to talk to some of these people to see if they're doing okay. But yeah, it opened, depending on where you look, at, you know, 6.5, 7.5-ish, and yeah, gone up into double digits now. Middle Tennessee got whipped by James Madison last week. James Madison, kind of coincidentally, quarterbacked by old friend Toddy Santeo, who had a monster game. He had about 400 yards total offense, 6 passing touchdowns, a huge game for him. So I think Middle Tennessee and everything I've read, they lost a lot of defensive players either to graduation or the transfer portal. So their defense looks vulnerable. So CSU needs foot points. On the flip side, you know, they're an air raid team. They did not move against James Madison, so I'm kind of curious to see how that unfolds. But, you know, I had some fans saying, you know, oh, based on what James Madison did, you know, CSU better score more than 50, better win by 50. I'm saying, one, it's hard to score 50 points no matter who you play. Two, CSU has won 11 games in the last 4 seasons combined. I don't think this is a program in position to whine about how much it wins by.
Right.
It just needs to win. You know, I do think CSU probably will, you know, win by, you know, a couple scores. I caution fans to think that, you know, they'll just go hang 70, you know, win 70-10 and have a party. That's just not really how it works, and that's not where this program is probably at right now.
It's always weird to me, and again, I do some of it, but when you start looking at scores going, well, they scored this much during that, or this amount during that game, they better do the same. So many things dictate that. How you want to run your game. Do you slow things down in the fourth quarter? Is there an injury? Is there something else that happens? Or is the matchups? I mean, CSU could be a much better team, but maybe they don't match up as well as another team would against Middle Tennessee. And that's a real thing. So I always kind of scratch my head at that when it's like, well, Middle Tennessee got outscored 44-7. You better make sure the score looks like that at least.
Yeah, and especially early season games, too. You get really funky things happening early in season. So, yeah, I think score comparisons are quite dangerous. You know, CSU needs to win, certainly. I think if they do lose this game, that, you know, I don't want to say alarm bells. That would be wrong. But it would deflate the energy around the program right now. But, you know, if they only win by 10 and not 30, is that a big problem? Like, no. Again, this team just needs to win games.
Got to find a way to get in the win column. It's been a while, right, Kevin? What, six in a row, seven in a row? How many losses
seven
have they had now?
Yeah, seven now. And I talked to Jay Norvell about that this week. You know, it's one of those, it's not his seven-game losing streak, so to speak, obviously. Well, he inflicted some of it on CSU, but obviously, you know, it was most him. But he inherits it. You know, all the fans have sat through those games. You know, about half the roster has had all those losses. And so that, you know, permeates the program. Jay Norvell even admitted, he goes, yeah, we're battling mediocrity. This program has been mediocre. We have some mediocre practice habits. We have some mediocre attitudes. That's the type of stuff that we need to get rid of, but it takes time, you know. It's easy to say, you know, stop doing that, but it takes some time to kind of create new muscle memory almost. So, yeah, they absolutely need to get back in the win column and get that vibe. I mean, there's so many players on this team that don't know what it's like to succeed, really, at the college level.
Now, that's the thing. You just got to see the ball go into the hoop. You just have to win.
Exactly.
And it's not really about the spread or anything like that for this team right now. It's amazing how expectations tend to change. You bring Jay Norvell in and you think, oh, it's a new coach. A lot of Rams fans are not giving him any time. They're giving him patience, but they don't want to give him any time. They're thinking, you got to get this thing rolling right now, which I guess you love, because I think that's what Jay Norvell has set up with all the excitement. But, you know, you just want to temper fans so they're not expecting, you know, 10 wins this season. I mean, I think there's some fans out there that just think that the Rams could go undefeated after this Michigan game. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Some of it is the new roster. You know, all these new players that came in, you know, created that. But I think, you know, some of those sort of intangible things I talked about, things like that, that permeates a program. When you go through years where you just don't do it right, it takes time to fix that. I think that, you know, somewhat intangible stuff is what, you know, fans maybe don't see and maybe don't fully grasp how long it can take to shake some of that out.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's going to be interesting to see, though. Let's see if the Rams do get back on the right track. I know you and Chris will be in later this afternoon for Rams Weekly. We'll dive into a little bit more on that Michigan game, but then also set our sights on Middle Tennessee for Colorado State. So we're looking forward to that program, my man.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, as always. Love our Thursday.
I love it. Hey, we got the Thursday night special coming up, too. Bills, Rams. I don't know where I'm going just yet. Kevin, can you throw out a pick? Who do you like tonight?
Bills.
Okay. All right. I'm writing it down. I've been collecting information this entire show to help me with my pick. Kevin, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fully on the Josh Allen bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Blows my mind, because going into the draft, I was basically saying Josh Allen will not be good. So I will mea culpa on that one. I will admit my.
Hey, it won't be the first or last time, I'm sure, for any of us. Well, Kevin, we'll see you later this afternoon, man.
Sounds good to you, and wow.
All right, 12:46 the time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up this hour of the program. And then, yes, in the final hour of the show, we will have the first official Thursday night special coming up. All NFL, all season. I will pick that Thursday night game for you. And you can just rest easy knowing, hey, where to put that money, what to do with it. We'll talk about it in the second hour. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Stopped by Cable's Pub and Grill yesterday. Man. So yesterday was Wednesday. The $3 pints, $7.99 personal pizzas, up to three toppings. Great pizza. And inexpensive, too. I mean, in this day and age, and listen, everybody's raising their prices. I get that because the prices are being raised on them. I mean, it's the bottom line, the ingredients, everything. It's just getting ridiculous, but take advantage of these specials going on at Cable's Pub and Grill. Like Wednesday's $3 pints, $7.99 personal pizzas, three toppings. Today is Fiesta Thursday. Smothered burritos and a house margarita. $10.99 for the smothered burrito. House margaritas are just $4. Margaritas are ridiculous most places. That's a pretty sweet deal. Check out Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. The CU Buffs are still kind of like mum's the word on the quarterback situation. I just hate this. I just hate it. Pick a quarterback. He's the guy. And then if he's not the guy, another guy is the guy. That's how it should work. You're the guy, and it's your job to lose. When you lose it, you're not the guy, he's the guy. Not this crap of substituting back and forth or just decide. Just pick a guy.
Yeah, that's kind of what Coach JJ was telling us last hour was, it doesn't matter, there's only one guy that can get the job, but your job in the room is to support everyone else around you. So if it's not you, you better be the best number two you can be.
Yeah.
Hold that clipboard or play sheet or whatever as best you can.
You better be ready, because one guy can drop and be not the guy anymore. But why do we have to act like the quarterback position is like this top secret information? I just picture Carl Durrell close up on his feet walking, and you know, you just hear his footsteps walking. It's like the opening of a movie. And then the camera pans up and he's got a briefcase and it says top secret on it. And he's walking down the hallway. And then you pan out even further and it's like CU Buffs secret football headquarters. Nobody knows. And then you start the movie. You got a dude breaking in there trying to figure out who the starting quarterback is. Like, we treat this, all of them. I think CSU's the only one. Air Force? Like, in this year, anyway? Like, Jay Norvell knew who his guy was. Wyoming didn't. UNC did. Now they don't. Maybe they do. I don't know. CU, though, all over the place. They aren't telling us. Carl Durrell's not telling us who the quarterback is. He said, we do have a plan. That's why I stole the meme from Big Daddy. The GIF. I don't know the difference.
The technology.
Doesn't matter. They're the same thing. One's moving, one's not. The Big Daddy one, though, when his girlfriend leaves him for like an old, like a 65-year-old dude. Adam Sandler's like in his 20s at that time. And she goes, he has his life together. He has a 5-year plan. And Sandler says, what is it? Don't die? Like, Carl Rose says, we have a plan. After getting trounced by TCU last week, 38-13, you played musical chairs with your quarterbacks, and we still don't know. Listen, I love Carl Durrell. He's awesome. But I am not very confident this season in what he can do. And if the Buffs flat out lose every game this year, how do you go the next season with Carl Durrell as your head coach?
Does he make it to the end of the season at that point?
I don't know. I mean, that game against TCU, I felt like was just bad coaching. You had JT Shrout was playing better. Then he comes out, Brendan Lewis takes over, and Brendan Lewis wasn't doing anything better. And then the coaching decisions, you know, it's still a close game, and you're in their territory in the 41, and you punt that thing away.
And you had that early fourth and like three in the second half or second quarter that could have made it a closer game in the halftime.
Mm-hmm. Just wasn't great. And it just makes me wonder how long of a season it's going to be for CU. Meanwhile, I was reading a story. Where did it go? Found it on Twitter. About Mel Tucker. And it was like this big, elaborate, before finding his dream job at Michigan State, Mel Tucker turned down a shot at the NFL job because of the controversial Rooney Rule. He felt like he was going to go do an interview with Jacksonville, and he felt like, I'm just here to fill a quota. So he left. He's like, I'm not doing this. Which I wonder if more coaches are like that. I'm just here because I'm filling a quota. And Mel Tucker certainly knows his stuff, but I kind of see where he's coming from on that. And since then, he's doing Mel Tuckery things. The one that got away. That guy was good. In his short term, I mean, it wasn't like the Buffs were good that year, but you could see the development, you could see the growth on its way, and you kind of felt it. And now he's gone. So that was a tough one. You read that story, and then, of course, we're wondering if the Buffs are going to win a game. I don't think that's like a, I'm not over-exaggerating. That is a real question. Can the Buffs win a game this year? All right, second and final hour, third and final hour of the show coming up. We've got the Thursday night special. Hold on to your butts. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.